Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Will hockey return?
The schedule says so.
I don't know, though. I sure hope we drop the puck tomorrow night in Seattle. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. It has been too dang long. It's been, what, 2 weeks since we were on with you? And, yeah, a little bit of a COVID hiatus, I guess. It seems like an eternity since the Flames were last on the ice. And hopefully, Thursday night, which is tomorrow, I'm recording this on a Wednesday night live. And, yeah, hopefully we are back watching Flames hockey tomorrow night. But, sadly, I will, believe it when I see it. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I hope all of you had an amazing Christmas with your friends and, most importantly, your family. New Year's, comes this weekend and we hope everybody is smart and has a safe and, entertaining, fun New Year. I miss Flames hockey. I'm not going to lie. And I'm beyond frustrated. I don't even know what to say anymore. I didn't even really want to do this show this week. And it's not that I don't love coming on and talking Flames hockey, but the fact of the matter is, it seems like in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we haven't even talked hockey. It sucks. I don't like talking about things other than hockey. And it seems like that's all we've been doing. How long before the next shutdown? I don't think the U.S. is going to have that happen. Canada, on the other hand, I don't know. I'm so mentally wore down from COVID, it's not even funny. I'm sick of the scare factor. Yeah, I said scare factor. I know it's not the PC thing to say, but we need to start talking the truth and we need to start looking at this through reality. Life must go on, man. It's time to refocus. COVID's not going anywhere. We've had a vaccine for over 12 months and more cases than ever. This is not going anywhere with the vaccine. I think that is, and hopefully can be agreed upon. So we need to move past that. We can't stop it. We need to learn how to live with it and how to treat it. And then I think we will be able to move forward as a country and as a human race. I think that is the step that needs to be done because, I think we've proven in the last 24 months that probably not something we're going to be able to throw a drug at or throw a vaccine at or whatnot. I can't wait till, we never have to discuss COVID ever again on this show. I started doing podcasts because I wanted to talk about hockey and, I try to do that for the most part. But it seems like there's been way too many times in the recent future or recent past that we're not talking hockey anymore. We're talking vaccines, we're talking shots, we're talking COVID protocol, and we're talking all this stuff that I personally don't really. Well, let's put it this way. Hockey used to be my outlet from the garbage going on in the world. Hockey was my escape every night when you get home from work and get the kids settled in, and it was my time to diffuse. And I'm frustrated because things of this world have taken that away. Now, yeah, you can say, well, cry me a river, you're missing your hockey. And yeah, I guess that's probably a way to look at it. I should be able to live without hockey. We all probably should, right? But we're only going around this merry-go-round one time. And, I like my hockey and you can call me selfish for saying that or whatever. And that doesn't mean I want people dying, but that's not what's, fully happening. But anyways, we had such a great start to this season, and I hope this team can bounce back now and get back on track and start winning games, and we can get rid of hearing the word postponements, and we can just roll and get that excitement back that we had, because this was really a pretty damn fun season, going, with the exception of the last little stretch we had. But, for the most part, lots to be excited about in Calgary when you're talking Flames hockey. On this episode, we're going to open with a short discussion on how long the Flames have been away from the rink. We'll talk about, the new COVID regulations, updates, and the changes there, and how that's going to affect the Flames and their roster and everything like that. We'll give some updates on the NHL and the Flames team, and we'll talk about that new arena and the problems that we're having, and oh man, we just can't have problems with that too. It just seems like it's a snowball effect, one thing after another, right? And yeah, upsetting news of that. I was frustrated because we were beaten down with our whole team down with COVID, and then we hear the arena deals falling through. It's like, what else is going to go wrong? And then we'll roll into some Flames news, talk about news from the Pacific, and then we get a Facebook poll that's pretty telling, maybe. And then we'll wrap with game previews. Yeah, I said game previews. Are we going to really play hockey tomorrow night? Flames fans, this is a part of the show where we usually recap games, but do you even remember the last game? It's been 18 days since the Flames last stepped foot onto the ice for a hockey game. It was a Saturday night, a 4-2 loss to the Boston Bruins at the Saddle Dome. Disappointing loss. I thought I was kind of frustrated after that loss. It had been our fourth straight loss, and it was like, oh man. Is this team falling apart here, or are we just having a little blip in the radar? We've had 7 games postponed since then. We know Friday night's game, in Calgary has been postponed. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. How many more will get postponed? We were supposed to come back this last Monday night with a Battle of Alberta, and that was postponed, which for a comeback game after a lot of time off, I didn't really want to play the Edmonton Oilers. We started the season with the Oilers, so that was our first regular season game, and I thought that hurt us. I didn't feel like coming back to them. I guess you can look at it two ways. Is it good to come back against the lowly Seattle Kraken? I don't know. Maybe that did even more pressure. Anyways, I was glad that wasn't our first game back. I'm a little up in the air and uncertain to really what this return is going to be like. We're coming out 4 straight losses. The last game we won was against the Los Angeles Kings in overtime. I believe it was a shootout, actually. And that was almost a freaking month ago. Let's hope COVID ended that. Let's hope COVID put that in the rear view mirror. And we're back on track where we're controlling play and scoring when we're getting chances and not getting held to all the outside opportunities that don't often pay off. That's what we saw in those last 4 games. And we need to get back to what we saw when we beat the Rangers handily, and when we beat the Bruins handily the first time. And, a couple of games that stand out. There's a Penguins game that I thought we played pretty darn good in too. There's some games that really stand out as big games. I remember that Washington Capitals in the Saturday afternoon when we won in overtime. Just some of those games were just really stand out as games I thought we played really, really well in. And that's what we got to get back to. And it's tough to tell how the team going to react after, 18 days since they were on the ice. And that's a long, long time, without action and no practice. And, it scares me a little bit to see how this Flames team comes back onto the ice Thursday night in Seattle when they take on the Kraken. All right, Flames fans, let's talk about COVID. We talk about COVID all the time. I'm so sick of it. Couple changes. NHL instituted a temporary taxi squad that went into effect on December 26th that will run until the club's final game prior to All-Star break. What it says is it'll be adding taxi squads to every team, a maximum of six players. No minimum number of players. Players shall be on the taxi squad for more than, no player shall be on the taxi squad longer than 20 cumulative days. A bunch of ineligible player things, roster emergency exemptions. There's a roster emergency exemption can be used to recall a player if the cap hit is $1 million or less. The team does not need to first play a game with a shortened bench prior to using that roster emergency exemption. If the reason for a recall is a player is unable to play due to COVID. So that's the glitch in that one. I don't know how I feel about the taxi squad. I guess if it helps us play games, then great. But, based on postponements already, I think there's bigger things ahead of us as far as problems go. And we're going to talk about that here in just one moment. The Flames were back on the ice last Sunday, and that was their first practice since December 11th. Good to see them back on the ice. Here's some benefits. I mean, trying to twist this a little bit, the positive. They got some rest. They got some injuries taken care of. It sounds like Tyler Pitlick is good to go again. And the Flames, you know, were never forced to play shorthanded missing COVID players like a lot of teams have had to do, because you look at some of these rosters now of games and it's like, I don't know where they've got some of these players. Another positive is they're getting 4+ days of probably about 7 days of full practice. I don't know. I know a COVID outbreak is never ideal. A couple other positives I can spin on it is it infected like 99% of the team. So if we're going on what medical professionals have told us, we shouldn't see us testing positive, right? We'll see, I guess, huh? But that's what we've been told from a medical standpoint, is that usually you're immune for 6 months based off natural immunity. So, that being said, we shouldn't have to worry about any more COVID protocol sit-outs for the Flames. We'll see. I kind of doubt that that'll happen. Let's talk about lines. At practice, they've switched things up a little bit. They've got Gaudreau, Lindholm, Tkachuk, which is the same. They've got Lucic up playing left wing with Backlund and Coleman. That was Mangiapane's spot. Mangiapane's down with Dubé and Richie. Monahan centering the fourth line with Richardson and Lewis. And then practice, they've had Ruziska centering Pitlick and Fraze. Defensive pairings, they've had Hanifin and Anderson, same. Shillington, Tanev, which is the same. Zadorov, Gabranson, which is the same. And Stone, which we like to see the stability on the back end. I think that's critical. It was originally reported that Yusuf Valimaki would not be eligible for the taxi squad, but it sounds like he will be eligible for the taxi squad. So we'll see if we see Yusuf Valimaki. That just seems to be a huge topic in Calgary. And I think the fact of the matter is, and we've talked about it, I don't know how many times on the show, Yusuf Valimaki will earn his time, but he's just got to earn his time. Just because he was a high draft pick isn't a free pass into the lineup. But we'll see what happens there. I like our defense right now. I do. I know there's been some struggles. I know Hanifin hasn't been on the top of his game lately. Zadorov has had some up and down games. Gabranson has been pretty good for the most part. Anderson's been pretty good. Tanev had a couple of games down the stretch here that I wasn't real thrilled with, but, I mean, what do you get? I mean, you're getting one of the best in the league when you're talking about a Tanev. The biggest problem, though, coming out of this COVID, when I look at the Flames and where we're going, is the fact that the game on Friday night got postponed when Winnipeg comes to the Saddle Dome, and I believe there was 9 other Canadian games that have been postponed already over the next few days, based off attendance restrictions. Owners just are not going to play games now without attendance. It's too costly. The salaries are being paid out, irregardless if there's fans in the building or not, or for 50% or whatever. And then they want to regulate food and drink. And I mean, just basically take every bit of money away from the owners. So evidently the Canadian owners have said, we're going to postpone games and hopefully the restrictions go away and we'll be able to get that revenue. It's $3+ million per game in revenue. I know people say, well, these owners get their money from the TV deals and they got all these things and they get these things. Remember, guys, this is all money that'll be profit at the end of the year for the league, which in turn will subtract losses will come out of the salary thing. And if you think a flat cap's been difficult for these past 2 years, we're going to have a hell of a lot more years of the flat cap if we don't have fans in the building. And that's just a fact. I mean, you guys can, you know, people can come up with all these things and say, well, who cares? The owners are rich and everything. And yeah, the owners are rich, but they're not going to float the bill because fans can't come watch their product. It's just, it makes no sense. And why should we expect the owners to do that? We're not expecting the players to take a pay decrease, are we? No, nobody thinks the players should ever pay any of it. It should always be the owners. I don't think it's right. But you know, when you think about this and you think about this Canadian teams and where is the Canadian government going to go with this? What does it mean for Canadian teams? Is there a possibility that the league looks and says, hey, you 7 Canadian teams need to find a temporary home in the United States to play your games at so that you can have some sort of attendance in those arenas, some sort of revenue coming in, and then we don't have to worry about cross-border travel. The restrictions are much less in the United States. I think that... it's going to play a role. I really do think it's going to play a role. And I'm not saying that they're going to move all the Canadian teams to America. But I don't know how they're going to get 82 games in right now. But if we're going to keep having postponements on a nightly basis, and if we're going to keep postponing because of fans in Canada, it's just not going to work. Calgary has a ton of home games left on their schedule. I didn't count the exact amount, but more than road games, and you can only play so many of your road games and not play your home games before you look at the schedule and be like, well, we got to get these home games in. And it's not fair to the owners if there's fans not in the building and revenue not coming in. This cannot continue. There's going to have to be a solution. We cannot go another 2 weeks of postponing Canadian teams' games. Something's going to have to happen. I don't know what that'll be. I know what I'd like it to be, but I don't know that the Canadian government and the Canadian health is going to look at and drop these restrictions. I don't see it happening. So the NHL is going to have to come up with a solution. And I know many of you think I may be crazy on this one, but I don't know that temporary homes in the U.S. is that far-fetched. Well, if having 19 of our 20 or 20 of our 22 players out with COVID in Calgary wasn't bad enough news before the holidays for us, we got kicked in the whatever with a report that the city of Calgary and the Calgary Ship Ownership Group was at odds with this arena deal again. It was reported that 16 to 19 million in costs had arose from the development permit process based on comments from Flames CEO John Beam on, was it the Wednesday before Christmas? They appeared to have two big sticking points: the costs associated with incorporating solar panels into the roof. Why should the Flames be paying extra money for solar panels? and the costs associated with a sidewalk and road right-of-ways around the new facility. That sounds like a city thing, right? One of the things that bothers me is, do we not get it into our heads in Calgary that this is going to be used for more than just the Calgary Flames? Where are all the big concerts going now? Well, I guess maybe we shouldn't worry about those. We can't have them in Canada. They're going to Edmonton because they have the facilities to host them. If we don't get this new arena, we're not going to get any top-end entertainment for anything. And if you think this ownership group is going to cave, I don't know. Let's put it this way. I think the city of Calgary needs the Flames more than the Flames need the city of Calgary. Something to think about. Do I think it'll get solved? I do. I do think it'll get solved. I don't think we're talking a big enough discrepancy for it not to get solved. Calgary needs a new arena. I think the city deserves a new arena. And you've got a hockey ownership group that's willing to pay a pretty healthy chunk of it. And I think that this is a partnership that, and I think this should be able to get figured out. I really do. And I think it will. Both sides have poured too much money into this project to walk away now. And they just have. I think it'll get resolved. I don't think it's going to be a fun process. But I do think it'll get resolved. And you know what? Just for the well-being of this city right now, like, we need to get this figured out real quick and just get the ball rolling and get this stadium built, because morale in this city right now is, I mean, God, just with all the daily grind of COVID and postponements and what's next and when are we done with this, and we need good news now. Okay, now it's time to talk about some Flames news. And I don't know. First thing we need to talk about is some frustrating stuff. Let's get through the frustrating stuff and let's talk about a report that came out this week that I thought was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. No Olympics. I don't think that surprised any one of us. Due to the increased positive tests and the NHL and how the NHL has been affected with COVID, and China's ridiculously high quarantine requirements, which would make players have to be in China for 5 weeks, possibly, if they tested positive. The NHL and the NHLPA have agreed to not go to the Olympics, which, quite honestly, we needed that time to make up for the games we've already missed in the league that matters, and that's the National Hockey League. I know many of you are disappointed we're not going to the Olympics. I'm not an Olympic guy. I think that there is nothing in it for the league to go, especially when it's overseas. I think they need to nail down a World Cup. I think there needs to be a best on best. I think that's good. I think it's good for Canada. I think it's good for the U.S. Hell, I think it's good for all the countries. But the NHL should be the ones making the revenue, and the NHL players should be the ones making the revenue. And if they partnership and they do it together and it's played in North America, lots of money can be made and it'll have the same excitement of the Olympics. Hell, if I was the league, I'd play during the Olympics, go head to head with them, and do it on a different network. And I think you would see extremely, extremely good results, but that's just my opinion. More horrendously bad news. The World Juniors were canceled today, and here's my time to vent, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. Four positive tests. It is reported that those players were asymptomatic. I don't know that the facts on if they're asymptomatic or not. From what I've heard, that is the case. I'm not there, so I can't say that 100%. But four positive tests. Four. For an age group that is not suffering severely from COVID. And we've stripped the chance of them playing in the most prestigious under 20 tournament in the world. players are going to lose the opportunity to play in this over four positive tests. This tournament was doomed with the requirements that they had. Doomed. Absolutely absurd. First, Team USA had to forfeit against Switzerland. And then there was Slovakia, I believe, and it was Russia. It was three teams affected. Four players. U.S. was going to have to forfeit tonight's game against Sweden, but then they made a change in the rule and one of the goalies was a close contact, but they were going to let him play anyways if he had a negative test today. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like, oh my goodness. So we scrapped the whole thing. The whole thing. For four positive tests. For an age group that is virtually unaffected by COVID. I can't even believe this. Can't even believe this. Flames prospect Matt Coronato was playing for the U.S. He got to play one game, had an assist, looked pretty good. He was the number 13th overall selection in the 2021 NHL draft. And, 19 years old. And not getting the opportunity to show us what we have to look forward to in Calgary here in a few years. It's sad. It really frustrated me today. I was really frustrated yesterday when I got news that the Winnipeg game Friday night was postponed. That actually scares the hell out of me because I don't know what that means for pro hockey in Canada. I don't. But then when I saw the World Juniors today get axed, not because 18 players on one team tested positive, but because four players tested positive amongst all the teams. Let's go get them out. We're not playing anymore. The IIHF and the Canadian government should be ashamed of themselves. Should be ashamed of themselves. Back to some Flames news. It was reported this week that next year the Flames will be adding another alternate jersey. The Flames currently have just three colors, red, yellow, and white, and that's the way I like it. I like that. I like the classical look. But now it's expected that they'll reintroduce black into the mix. Big shocker. And we'll see where it goes. Not a lot of word out on this yet. But some interesting news, and we'll see how it all plays out. I don't hate third jerseys. I just like classic. And when we came back with what we're wearing now, is you can call it retro, I guess. That was a breath of fresh air for me. Maybe because it reminds me of when we were hoisting the Stanley Cup. It really reminded me of that, and I love to see those jerseys. Let's talk a little bit about the Pacific Division and where we're sitting right now, because the Flames, you know, have been sitting at 28 games forever. I keep looking at the standings every single morning, and it's like teams keep passing us, but we're not playing. So all the teams around us have, you know, Edmonton has only one more game than us. They'll have two after tonight. Seattle's played two more than us, but some teams have played five more than us, like Vegas, which is the most. And they lead the division with 42 points. They're in first place. Anaheim's in second with 40 points. Calgary, we're still hanging it on. We're sitting in third with 36 points, tied with Edmonton, who's also at 36 points. They do have one more game played in Edmonton, and tonight they are losing to St. Louis currently as we're talking. San Jose sits in fifth with 33, tied with LA, and they're tied for fifth with 33. Vancouver sits at 30 in seventh. They've got six straight wins. They're playing later tonight. And, Seattle sits at 23 in dead last. Chances to go to the playoffs. This was updated on Christmas Day. Calgary has an 88% chance of making the playoffs right now. Vegas has a 95, Edmonton 84, Anaheim 60, Los Angeles 20, San Jose 16, Vancouver 7. They must be on drugs. I think Vancouver has a much better chance than LA. I'd say they're probably 50-50 right now if you had to ask me. And then Seattle at 2%. Well, after looking at these standings and watching us not playing, everybody catch us, and, you know, like, what would it be like if the playoffs started today? Like, where would we be? And if we went solely off what we normally go off of, and that's points, here's who would play who. In the Central, we'll just talk West. In the Central, it would be Minnesota would be the number one seed, and they'd be playing wild card two, which is Edmonton. So it'd be Minnesota, Edmonton, and then it would be number two, Nashville, against three, St. Louis. That'd be an interesting matchup. In the Pacific, it'd be Vegas in the number one seed, taking on wild card one, which would be Colorado. Anaheim would be the number two ranked. They'd be taking on the number three ranked Calgary Flames. We'd be sitting in third. But if you do what we had to do when we shortened the other season and you went off points percentage, let's take a look at where we would be. In the Central, Minnesota would be number one again, and they'd be playing wild card number two, which would still be Edmonton. Colorado would be the number two seed, and they'd be playing Nashville. So that changes that whole scenario. Number in the Pacific, number one seed would be Calgary. Yeah, points percentage wins. We are number one right now still in the Pacific. And we'd be playing wild card number one, which would be St. Louis. Number two ranked team would be Vegas, and they'd be taking on number three Anaheim. I don't know. Have we decided the playoffs? I think the team's still in the running for the playoffs in the Pacific would be Vegas, obviously, Anaheim, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. I still think they have a shot. I mean, San Jose and LA probably, well, they obviously have a shot, but I would say that they'd probably be on the outside looking in, and I don't think Seattle has a chance. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where that all plays out. Listener question of the week. We did a Facebook poll. And here's where it gets a little wild. My Facebook poll, I posted it on Flames Hub. I don't know if you guys are members at Flames Hub, but if you're not, get on over and join this group. They have a very diverse group of Flames fans, and I like that. Very respectable people, very, very good group. I'm on there every day. Sometimes I'm controversial, sometimes I'm not. That's what they're for, right? Discussion, right? Discussion's good. The question I posed was, should the NHL adopt the NFL's COVID testing policies in which they only test asymptomatic players? All right, when I usually do these, I usually get 100-plus responses. 100 plus. I didn't get half of that this time. I think I know why. I think we've been feared into not having an opinion anymore or being afraid to express our opinion. I've never really been good at hiding my opinion. And yeah, from time to time, it's probably got me in trouble. But I think it's fake if we just don't say what we think. And I come on here and I don't want everyone to ever upset anybody. And I'm open to discussion. I listen to everybody's opinion. But I think it's okay to have an opinion, right? Well, the counts I did get were 71% of people who responded said that they would like to see the NHL adopt the NFL's testing policy and only test asymptomatic players. 29% said that that would not work. Well, what do you think? I think if the NHL doesn't adopt the NFL system in the next month, we will no way get this season in. No way. Not even close. Not even close. The NHL came out with new CDC guidelines that the NHL and the NHLPA agreed upon today, that the isolation for vaccinated individuals would only be 5 days after testing positive for COVID, or symptoms are resolving. I still have to, get local authorities involved, which is going to push back the time, especially in Canada. I don't think this fixes anything. Negative tests and clearance from club physicians also mandatory to exit isolation after 5 days. They were headed down this road after the NFL and NBA agreed to their different... This is kind of what the NBA is using. NFL is much different. They're not testing asymptomatic players unless they're unvaccinated, which to me doesn't really make sense because you either have symptoms or you don't have symptoms. It should be irrelevant if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, right? I don't understand. You're either sick or you're not sick. You're showing signs. You're not showing signs. I don't get it. When do we want to not bow down to this pandemic and really fight this pandemic? I don't mean fight the guidelines and fight the regulations, but when do we want to quit scaring people and start dealing with the facts of this? I don't know. It's a touchy subject and it's frustrating. But unless we adopt the NFL's rule and go with it, which I don't think Canadian authorities will ever allow, we're not getting this season in. I don't see any way that we can.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Time to do game previews. God, it's good. Feel good to do game previews. We haven't done this for a while. Let's talk about it. Tomorrow night, Thursday, December 30th, Calgary in Seattle. Team left today. Got off into the air. That's good news. Seattle currently eighth in the Pacific with 23 points. Their last game, they were supposed to play in Calgary on December 23rd. That was postponed. This will be their first of four meetings. And, yeah, we'll be taking on the Seattle Kraken in Seattle, the first time to Climate Pledge Arena. And that is tomorrow night. Then, Winnipeg versus Calgary, Friday, December 31st, postponed due to current attendance restrictions in Canadian cities. That would have been our second of three meetings with Winnipeg this year. That will be postponed. We'll see when we get that in. Then, Sunday, Calgary heads to Chicago. We're going to have a lot of road games here, which I guess we're good on the road, so maybe, oh, hell, maybe it's a blessing. I don't know. We'll see. Calgary heads to Chicago Sunday, January 2nd, starts what's supposed to be a four-game road trip. Why do I feel it's going to be a lot more than four games? But it's supposed to be four-game road trip. Chicago currently in seventh in the Central with 26 points, second of the three meetings with the Blackhawks this year. Calgary defeated the Hawks 5-2 on November 23rd in Calgary. A big win for the Flames. I remember that game very clearly. Then, next Tuesday, January 4th, Calgary heads to Florida to take on the Florida Panthers. Florida currently third in the Atlantic with 40 points. A very impressive team tonight. I watched them play the Rangers, and they're going to be at 42 points here in a few minutes because that's a high-power team that I'm thinking will beat the Rangers here in the next couple minutes. This will be the first of two meetings of this season. The return of Sam Bennett against his old teammates. Yeah, don't forget that one. That'll be a little bit interesting, but good to actually have games to discuss and games to talk about. And next time we're on here, next Wednesday night, we're going to get to recap games and hopefully have some news and crack this losing streak and just get back to the good winning ways and the positive vibes in Calgary. All right, Flames fans. Well, another show in the books, I guess, for the most part. A little bit shorter shows. We've been running a little bit shorter shows just because when there's no hockey to talk about, it's a little bit harder. You know, you have guests on. What do you talk about? You know, I don't want to sit and talk to guests about COVID and things like that. That's no fun. And we want to talk about Flames hockey and Flames wins and everything. And I don't know. I also wanted to, you know, to talk a little bit about this tonight and, I don't try to be political. I actually hate talking about COVID. I do. But honestly, the only reason I do is because it's affected hockey so much, and that's what the podcast is about. Like, could you imagine it'd be like a 4-minute podcast, and if we didn't, you know, bring up what's going on with COVID and how it's affecting the hockey world? And I hate to be controversial, even though the show's Flames Unfiltered. I'm supposed to be controversial about hockey, though. I'm not supposed to be controversial about medical stuff, right? And political stuff and all that stuff. But it's kind of what it's come to. I still believe that people are allowed an opinion. I think that it's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to have opinions that disagree. I don't agree with everybody's opinion. I'll at least give them the time to listen. And I've been known to change my opinion because of other people's views on it and their reactions. I believe in freedom of speech, and I believe that I should be able to express how I feel about how COVID has affected the National Hockey League. And some may not agree with what I think on it. I understand, and I respect that. And I just ask you to please respect mine. It's a real touchy time in this world. It's a really touchy time in this world, and it's not a real cool time right now, is it? I look forward to the day we can just, you know, banter about if fighting should be allowed in hockey, not if vaccines and mandates and all this garbage that we're stuck talking about. I think expressing my opinions is really what a lot of you want. And as much as my stance on COVID isn't probably the most politically correct stance, I know there's a ton of people out there that have the same feelings as I do. And I know a ton of people that are pissed because the World Juniors are done. Not because we want people to get sick, or not because we want people to be harmed in any way. But if you just look at really what's going on with this new Omicron, it's flu-like symptoms. Truly flu-like cold symptoms. Could the Flames have our whole roster ravaged with this, but only two or three showed any signs of symptoms? And Michael Backlund described it as his cold he had 3 weeks ago was worse. Come on, people. It's not affecting this age group. You've got to let them live and play hockey and do what they love to do and do what they're paid to do. We're not randomly testing any other profession out there besides professional athletes. If they're healthy, let them play. We don't test people that work at Walmart that are healthy. We don't test physicians that are healthy. We don't. Why is this any different? Name me one other thing that we've had in this world that we've tested people who felt totally fine. Are you sick if someone tells you sick because the test shows you're sick? Why do people care? Do you care if you're sick? Do you care if you have it if you don't feel anything? Other than, yeah, you probably don't want to spread it. But if you think that only hockey players are the ones that are testing positive, we're crazy. 1 in 10 people out in everyday society is probably positive and doesn't know. And that's not their fault. Guys, let's wake up. Let's fight COVID. Let's not fight each other. I wish these world problems didn't affect hockey. It never used to. It didn't. I just want everybody to know that I don't want anybody upset, and I'm tired of being upset. I miss hockey. I miss talking about just hockey. I appreciate everybody that does listen, whether you agree with me or don't agree. I'm not trying to cause skirmishes. I just think that if I came on the show and didn't express my opinions about the Flames or things that affect the Flames and all these postponements and give you the truth, I really wouldn't be doing my job, would I? Thanks for everybody for understanding. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. Thanks for all of our listens. We truly appreciate every one of you. Get on over. You can watch these on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. You can also follow us on all forms of social media at Flames Unfiltered. Apple Podcasts is there. Rate, review, subscribe. Yeah, we need all of those good things. Everybody, please stay healthy, safe, and smiling. Happy New Year. Go Flames. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.